Hey, this is Jay Mendez, and you were listening to the beat of my drum. Thank you for listening. Today's episode features singer-songwriter Luke Valencia out of Austin, Texas. All right, I have Mr. Luke Valencia, local musician turned Austinite, and if you remember, his album in 2008 came out with The Way We Leave It, and a lot of people in the area love the album. They still do. Those lyrics, I'm telling you, the singing, the music, everything was just on point for that time and that place for us small-town kids, and I have him on the show today. And how's everything going up here in Austin, Luke?
I mean, everything's growing up here in Austin. It's pretty crazy, but I love it. We love it, my wife and I, and Austin's just such a great place to be, with just so much of the growth and of just particular industries and educational opportunities, and just a cool, diverse place. I miss home. For sure, once in a while, but being in the city, that affords me opportunities. It's been pretty nice to be up here.
Thank you so much for coming on once again, and it's great to be in Austin, because when I get to Austin, it's just such a different vibe than being where I'm from, and it's the city. You said that you're going to school, right? Where are you going to school at?
Yeah, so I have been going to the University of Texas at Austin, Hook'em. And I've been doing that, and life's been good. Can't complain.
Life's been great for you. I'm so glad to hear that, because a lot of people over there ask me, where is Luke, for one? Where is his music? I haven't heard anything from him as far as new music. And is he okay? I can confirm, everyone, he's doing just fine. He was strumming the guitar for me a little bit ago. Sounds amazing, as he did, 11 years ago on that album. Is making music still a part of what you do?
No, but I think, I guess, kind of backtracking a little bit, I kind of have a bit of an unconventional connection with music, kind of begin with. For me, I never wanted to focus on being a musician. I think for me, what was important was that I tell stories, and that I tell stories about other people. I mean, growing up in Natalia, there were so many just amazing people that we grew up around.
Right.
For me, I felt like our time here on this earth is so short, and what impact am I going to make? And am I going to be someone who, when I'm long gone, is anybody going to remember, the stories I have, or the stories of all these amazing people that I'm surrounded by? And I didn't want that to be the case. And so what ended up happening was, I just had something to say, and I wanted to get things off my chest. And I was just, just by coincidence, I just happened to come from a musical family, and with, this ability. And I just kind of put the two together. I had something to say, and I just sang about it, and that was it.
You bring up the storytelling part in some of your songs, and these are some quotables, man, that they're so true in a relationship in a small town. It's such... everything is about gossip and rumors and this and that. I don't impress you as much as I used to. Another song says, you're never alone, constantly moving on. This one is my favorite. These old city lights can't find the places where we kissed, danced. Talk about, where did you get these quotables that just hit? They hit right to a small town kid's heart, and And it makes so much sense to us that a lot of people don't understand.
You know, you had asked me a question, I think, previously about, you know, inspiration and kind of where I find that. And again, kind of, I mean, even, you know, the title of this podcast kind of says it all, you know, beat to our own drum.
Right.
And for me, I found a lot of inspiration kind of away from music. It's kind of this strange paradox of, you know, being a musician, but not focusing on music. And for me, it was a focus on life and a focus on people. And I just wanted, people to see how awesome Natalia was and just all right. The, you know, all the stories that go on there. And, you know, I was blessed with, you know, I think my parents played a huge part in my upbringing. And, you know, my mom was the kind of person who, she had an impact on people, you know, and she was one of the few people in my life where I could, you just walk into a room and you knew that she loved you, you know?
Right.
And I think I was blessed to get that from her, to just be able to observe people and to see the best in them. And so I think for me, these lyrics were already written, man. And that just goes to show how amazing the people that I grew up around were. It's like, I liken it to, you know, a photographer, you know, they take amazing pictures of this landscape, but the landscape was already there.
Right.
The photographer just had to take the picture.
Wow.
And that's kind of where these lyrics came from, is like these stories were already going on.
Right.
And all I had to do was just
tell
the story.
Wow. Talk about some of the bands that inspired you the most coming up, growing up. I know you were a music nut, like an absolute music nut from what I remember.
Yeah.
Like you would take it to, you would be into R&B and then you'd be into alternative and then you'd listen to some of your older brother's music, the classic rock.
Yeah.
It's like your music taste was all over the place, but you can all hear it in your own music too. Mm-hmm. It's at each element. Some of the bands or some of the groups and singers that inspired you.
Man, yeah, that's absolutely right. I'm just enthralled with good music. Mm. And I mean, that ranges from everything from early 20th century, like Cole Porter, to big band music and jazz, and bossa nova, to, I mean, moving to like oldies. I mean, you know, we were blessed with a family that listened to amazing music.
Definitely.
We were exposed to so many great things, and we've been really blessed in that aspect. And yeah. And, you know, eighth grade, you know, rediscovering my dad's Led Zeppelin albums, and that just blew me away.
Right.
And,
oh yeah.
You know, but you know, I was also kind of like a 90s, you grew up in the 90s and the 2000s, and, you know, listening to, you know, Brian McKnight, Michael McKnight. Jackson was huge for
Michael
me.
Michael Jackson.
I mean, the Boys list the just Men. Goes on and on. Yeah. I mean, it just, I mean, even now, like I listen to everything, and you know, one of my favorites now is like Frank Ocean or Tyler Childers. And I love listening to those guys.
I love Frank Ocean too. But I remember the first like real talent show you did. I believe you borrowed my keyboard or something, or not borrowed. I think my mom just said, "Hey, John, like Luke's awesome. So we're going to give him this keyboard." I said, "Fine." So you won a talent show and you sang like a R&B song. I think it was Immature.
Yeah, I think it was.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And after that, and that's when they had the old camcorder and they had it on tape. And, you know, everyone knew at that point. It was just up to you to keep it going, right? And every time I'd go visit you, you had a new idea or something you were just excited about. But you're just messing around with the guitar, or you would have me a couple times hold the maracas, shake the maracas a few times, and then you'd have your mom come in and, "How does this sound?" It was just super cool. Like, it was a family thing, the music.
Yeah.
And Josh too, your older brother's, his music knowledge is through the roof too. Yeah. He loves good music. What instruments do you play? Is it just strictly the guitar, or do you have other instruments that you play?
Yeah, I mean, guitar is my main, kind of instrument. I think I kind of gravitated towards that. I mean, that's, you know, I didn't have many opportunities growing up, and the best education that I could afford myself was the family that we had around us.
Right.
And the majority of our uncles and our cousins, they played guitar.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I could glean anything that I possibly could from them. And so that's kind of been my standard ever since. But yeah, I do, once in a while, I'll get on a keyboard kick or, you know, since, you know, I've been on hiatus for so long with music, but I don't ever stop learning. And so I had taken some music theory classes,
mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of keyboard involved in that. And so, yeah, I mean, music's just a beautiful thing. I mean, you can never stop learning. And regardless of how good you are, I just want to learn, you know.
To keep learning.
Yeah.
I got two questions from the fans out there. Okay, first question is, do you ever listen to your own music, or do you ever catch yourself singing your own songs?
Honestly, no, never. I don't even keep my own albums. I mean, my brothers will contact me and they'll be like, hey, this person wants to hear, you know, your songs and stuff. Do you have a copy? And I'm like, I mean, you would know better than I do. I don't know.
What happened to the iTunes? It was on iTunes. It's not
there
anymore.
It was on iTunes.
People were mad at me. They're telling me, yeah. Hey, like, it's not on iTunes anymore.
Right,
I said,
yeah.
I don't know. What happened with that?
Well, because, I mean, that's a whole different story.
Oh, really?
We can get in. I mean.
Tell it, man. We're here. Is there contractual?
No. I mean, I just, it was just a part of my being, man. You know, I think there was just I was headed in a different place at that,
right.
at that point in my mm-hmm. life in kind of wanting to separate myself from, I guess, musically previously. And, you know, I don't mean that to say like, oh, I don't want to play music or I don't love it or anything like that. It's just, you know, I think when I was doing all of this, I was doing it alone and I was very young and I didn't know a lot about the world. I didn't know a lot about myself and the music business. It just is. I was just very disoriented.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And, I couldn't really tell. I don't think I had ever once sat down and asked myself, like, what do I want out of my life?
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of snowballed into Luke's a musician. This is what he's going to do with his life. And
kind of just, you felt like you didn't have control, like everybody just expected you to be a musician and you didn't have full control of what really made you happy. Or was it just, and you just ready for a new phase in your life, or what was it?
Well, I mean, it was a multitude of things. I mean, it was kind of a complex situation at the time. I mean, we're talking like, I mean, health stuff to,
mm-hmm.
Like just not really understanding who was genuine, and who, you know, I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anybody helping me out. Mm-hmm. You know, I was here alone. I didn't know anyone. And then, you know, trying to, you know, play music. And I mean, you never know who,
what their intentions are,
what anyone's intentions are.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to be this, you're going to be that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there comes a point where, you know, I didn't know at that point who I was and what I wanted. Like, who am I? And anybody listening out there, I'll challenge you to really understand, who are you without your talents? Who are you without your strengths? Who are you without, you know, your shelter,
mm-hmm.
with all your comfort,
right.
you know, and that's what I wanted to understand. Like, who am I underneath all of this?
Just
like
unmask.
If all this was taken away from me,
right.
you know, and that kind of started a journey for me. I quit playing music like cold turkey, like 2 years.
Wow.
Just quit.
Wow.
And
insane.
Yeah. And, but, you know, during that time, you know, I got to experience so much of an aspect of myself that I didn't really know. You know, and because, I mean, there were a lot of things about myself that I believed that weren't true. And I had to really understand, are these things true?
Right, right.
And I don't need anyone in my ear to say, you're going to be this and that. And I wanted to decide for myself, like, right. Who am I? And what do I want, you know?
Exactly.
We get one shot at this. We get one shot at life.
You sure do, man. You sure do.
And so I wanted to know that. And I want to make my impact on this world. And am I doing it the right way?
I love it. It actually sounds like an album in the making right now.
Oh, man, yeah.
No, but it's so true, because even for me, I remember when I was younger, and a lot of younger people that were younger than you would always come up to you, Luke, like, you're badass, and play a song for me. And like, you're not no fucking, you know, circus act or anything mm-hmm. like that. It's, man, you're a person too. Like, and I started to realize that when I got older. You know, why do people hang out with me? Why do they want to be around me and stuff? And yeah, you get to the point, you just want to unmask and just be your own person and march to the beat of your own drum.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly it.
Talk about the writing process of the last album. And what would you advise someone trying to write an album? Because a lot of albums are kind of a way of the past in a way these days. Not for me, I still listen to albums, but for a lot of people, they just click on a single. If you're going to make an album, say you're going to start an album, try to make it today, how do you get it to all fit? How do all the pieces fit? How do you get it to tell the story you want? What advice would you give to someone that wants to create an album today?
Well, I mean, I can only speak to like what I did. I mean, because right. I think the process is different for everyone, mm-hmm. you know, and if you find what works for you, I think that's great. But, you know, just kind of revealing a little bit of how I approached this. Again, this kind of harkens back to, you know, I was never interested in becoming a musician. I was interested in I had something to say, and the only way I knew how to express that was to sing about it. And so that's kind of how I approached albums. And for any advice that I would give to any aspiring musicians out there in writing is I kind of approached it in three ways. And one, I would say the very most important thing is to understand who you are. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because all music is, and especially songwriting, is it's a reflection of what's going on internally. In your heart, in your mind,
right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
What, you know, if I'm confident, my music's going to come across as confident. You know, if I'm sad, my music's going to come across as sad. And so I think
I love that you hit the nail on the head there. It's so true. Your mood determines your sound.
Yeah. I mean, your personality. I mean, and this is why we get so many different styles of music. And it's not, there's no different styles. It's just, hey, that's who that person is. And so that's kind of the approach that I had taken to it. So, you know, I would say first work on yourself as a human being. And two, man, all people see is, and it's great, you know, this is great. And people don't see the aspect behind, you know, all the hard work that you put in, you know, mm-hmm. and it's a little lonely, you know, there's times where, you know, you're, and especially for me, I did a lot of songwriting on my own and, it, you know, you're cooped up and you're just writing and everyone's out, your friends are out and
yeah.
You're home alone and you're practicing or you're writing something. And, so I would really say it can be lonely, but with that being said, I would encourage anyone to, learn your craft and to know your instrument and to study music theory. And if that's what you really want, you know, loneliness is just the sacrifice that you're going to have to make.
Yes.
You know, and loneliness is the sacrifice that you have to make other people happy.
Right.
You know, and that's, and you know this, I mean, as a DJ, like, yeah. you know, when you move people for the first time.
It's a sacrifice.
When you see people get out there and dance and sing to your music, I mean, it's.
That's the gratification
yeah,
I get.
It is.
And that's a lot of why I do it, because yeah. I like to see people have a great time dancing and stuff. Yeah. Music, I mean, the money's part of it, but the gratification you get of people out there dancing, having a great time is another reason why I do that. I put on Facebook earlier, taking a poll, what's your favorite Luke Valencia song? So Jessica Zapata said Pearson Street. Josh Valencia, your brother, said Amanda's song. Judy said Pearson Street, a song for Penny. Roxanne Ortiz said Turn. Carrie Salek said Turn. This other guy, Johnny Casanova, said, You can't do this to me. They're all my favorite. Tiff Balance, your sister-in-law, said Last One. Aunt Trissy said November. Alyssa Gonzalez, she's from Divine. Pearson Street, for sure. And Ready is a close runner-up. Aunt Janie said Misinformed. Another girl from Divine said Pearson Street. This other lady from Divine, Chris Lugo, she said, wasn't there one about Hondo Creek?
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Desiree, and she used to be Granado, now Desiree Esquivel. Ferris Wheel, Beautiful, On the Way We Leave It, and Untitled on the Wounded Sessions. Vicente Monreal said, All of Them. Danielle from Divine said, Pearson Street. And Tori from Natalia said, Ready and Misinformed. That leads me to the final poll. What is your favorite song on that album?
The Way We Leave It album?
Yes.
Wow. I don't know. I don't think I have a favorite. My favorite are the ones that people love the most, because I mean that means the most to me, that people are moved by, you know, a specific song. And it sounds like Pearson Street's kind of like
Pearson Street. Yeah. Consensus.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah, you know, I do. Yeah, I think I do like that one in what, you know, if people are into that, man, that's what I'm into.
I don't impress you as much as I used to. Baby, that's okay. I don't see you as much as I want to. Oh, you're slipping away.
Yeah, man, that's a badass song. I listen to that. You look on the, you could probably look at the plays on my iTunes, and it probably says like in the thousands. No, that's a great song. Pearson Street. Was it the Pearson Street in Italia you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's talk about that song.
Okay, yeah.
We don't got to say names or nothing, of course, but let's talk about that song a little bit.
Well, I think I remember writing that song, you know, the place we grew up, and I wrote all my songs on we call it the ranch. Mm-hmm. And it's a place where, you know, we as a family grew up, and is very inspirational to us. And, you know, our grandfather, man, he worked really hard to give us that land. And,
definitely.
And
ground up, man.
Yeah. So anyway, I remember I went to a, well, let me back up a little bit. I went at that point in my life, you know, I could see, you know, my family and all the people around me, my best friends, you know, were growing up at that point in time. And in that time in your life, man, you know, people are getting into, hey, let's go and party and let's go and do this. And it's fun. It's great fun. But that was never me. That I was never into that. Just wasn't something that I was into. And so Pearson Street came along because I just felt, and I could see my friends, and the people that I was into, like, being pulled away by, you know, they're out there partying now. And that's not something we used to do. It was kind of like a song about, you know, my childhood kind of dying. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I saw, hey, I don't impress you as much as I used to.
Yeah.
Because you're impressed by all these other things now. And like, where does that leave me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And makes sense.
I went to a concert one night. It was some like country cover band, maybe in Divine or something. I don't know. And everyone was there. Mm. It was packed.
Yeah.
It was real packed. And I'll never forget the lead singer in between one of their sets. Like, one of their songs got finished and everyone was rowdy. And he just says on the mic, hey, like, who wants to go skinny dipping in Hondo Creek tonight after the show? And everyone's just like going crazy. And that remark like left a huge impression on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, to me, what that signified was like, hey, all the cool people, this is what they go and do in Hondo Creek. And Pearson Street, to me in Italia, was like a place where, you know, me and my friends would go walk up to basketball practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the main street to get to the school.
So it's, man, so that song covers a wide range of things.
It does.
It's not even just about specifically a girl. It's more just the, like, the story of the crossings that you make while living there.
Yeah. And I mean, it's right there in the lyrics. I mean, you're pulling in tight with a cigarette light, you know, the nights out of the parties and the fields, and you can see people starting to, you know, getting into cigarettes. And,
right.
And so, yeah, it's just, that's how all that kind of came about.
You're never going to change.
Yeah, you're never going to change. Yeah.
That's cool.
Little Miss Know-It-All doesn't know it all. That's the first time they're getting exposed to alcohol and they don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Yeah. I thought about it. I thought about it pretty hard one time. I think I was drinking. Most likely I was drinking. And I thought about it, and I thought about it from your aspect and why you took a hiatus and things like that. I thought, man, he exposed all of his feelings in this album. And there's some vulnerability in that as a man. You know, I try to be as open and honest as possible. But there's a lot of feelings that I hold in that I won't, mm-hmm. you know, get that out. I won't put that out. I don't want people to know what my weakness is. And that's like 95% of men are like that, right? Yeah. So I don't want people to know what I'm going through and stuff like that. But that album, you really just like, I'm letting everything out there. This is me right here on the table. All of my feelings, all of my emotions are right here. And not everybody does that. That is exactly why that album touches so many people, because of the fact that you were saying what we were feeling, but none of us were. Our pride is too big to expose ourselves like that. And a lot of what you said, I mean, we all felt that from the girls to the guys and people in their 20s, you were what, at high school?
Mm-hmm.
And people in their 20s, 30s were feeling what you're saying. That's why that is just such a classic album, in my opinion. Why didn't it grow? Why didn't it get bigger? The potential for that album was so huge at that time. Why didn't it grow? Why didn't you expand on the career after that album came out?
I think it kind of goes back to, you know, kind of everything I touched on earlier, kind of why I took that hiatus. I think I had just released that album. It was probably about March. And I think I was ready to kind of walk away by like maybe August of that year.
Wow.
And I've never been one to kind of promote myself. Not because I don't think that, you know, I don't deserve that, or I'm not, you know, I don't know. I think, you know, growing up, I was especially, you know, a shy person. And,
right.
and to this day, I'm extremely private.
Yes.
You know, extremely private. And the only thing that I can't say no to is my family.
Right.
And you're my family. And you asked for me to come on this podcast. So I was like, hey, man, you know, this is, let's do it. You know,
I wanted you to listen to it first, make sure it wasn't trash.
No. But family means a lot to me.
Yes.
And I don't know. I just wasn't ready to put myself out there, especially, you know, I didn't know who I was at that time. I think I knew what I wanted. I just didn't. I wanted more than music.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't just about being a musician. I wanted more. I wanted people to see how amazing they were, but I didn't want them to think of me as like, oh, you're awesome. You know?
Right. Right.
And I, that's what I wanted.
I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why a lot of people take a hiatus in music. You're not the first one. You're not the last musician that has done that, because a private person, quiet as you are, you know, taking that time off like that, it was well needed. It was much deserved. But hey, man, it's been like 11 years. So is there a potential for another album? Is there a potential for a possibly some type of comeback concert? Or let's just talk about the other album. Is there an album in the works possibly, or something you see in the future?
Well, I mean, here's the thing, man. I never truly walked away from music. What had happened was, in the midst of finding myself, and I mean, this is just me personally, I'm not trying to push an agenda or anything like that, you know, for whatever reason, man, like the same feeling that I, this innate feeling that I had that I was going to be a musician one day was the same feeling that I had one day when I woke up and I was like, I need to go to church, mm-hmm. you know? And I went and just kind of experienced things that, man, I needed this. I needed something. It was just like a breath of fresh air, you know, from going from, you know, being in this music scene to like just absolute, just like quiet for my soul. That's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. And I remember that's when I quit music for like 2 years. Cause I really wanted to understand like, what am I, who am I, what am I doing? You know? And through that time, I remember one of my buddies at church, like told me, hey, like, you know, when you're a Christian, you serve the church with your talents. And that's just what Christians do. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I see they have like a band up there and, you know, I'll see, you know, I can help them out.
Right.
And that started this whole new kind of wing in my life.
Opened up, yeah.
Man, and it was just, I was hired full time to lead this music at church. And I did that for a very long time. So I wasn't completely away from music, but it was just in a completely different context, you know, and it was so nice because I could go up there and play. And at the end of the day, it wasn't like, hey, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. It was just quiet, you know, and it wasn't about me, and I could come home and, you know, just be a normal person.
So what happened to that gig?
Yeah. So that recently just ended, and man, it was such an amazing experience. I met wonderful people, made the greatest of friends, just people that I, you know, I could trust and I could, just love. And, me and my wife still, we attend the church and just met, man, you won't believe like the most amazing musicians like that, you know, that I met there and that I got to play music with there.
Wow.
And I did that for a very long time. And, so that just kind of took a lot out of me because it's week in, week out. You know, you're getting ready that week for the set list on Sunday.
Just
you
busy. Play
and it's the same thing all over. And so I did that for years. And so I just recently just stepped out of that and just been kind of focusing on UT and...
Hook 'em.
Yeah.
Do you do social media? If you don't, why not?
No, I mean, that just kind of goes back to just, you know, my private personality. I mean, even like, you know, my album covers, I never wanted to put my picture on there, you know, yeah. Nothing like that. Man, I don't know. It just wasn't in my DNA.
Social media scares you. It's like,
I just, you know, honestly, I'm going to be really honest with you. I always feel like people on social media actually have something to, like their lives are significant. And for me, I just feel like I don't really have anything to share. Like, you know, I'm not that cool. You know, so I don't know.
Well, Luke, what's next for you in the future? It doesn't have to be music. It could be your home life. You know, you and your wife seem very happy. So I'm so glad to see you in a great state of mind at this point. It's been a long journey with your music and with your career. Now you're here, happily married. So what's next for you?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean... since I've kind of stepped out of playing music for the church, man, I've gotten texts from a lot of buddies and they're like, hey, let's get a band together. Let's do this. Let's do that. My producer, Stephen Miller, he produced that last album. He moved up to Colorado and, you know, I'm thinking about going and visiting him. And
you got to go record some songs.
Yeah. Record some songs.
Before you continue, talk about that. Or just tell me about that song. The one you wrote with him, or it's under his name. What's
Cheyenne
it called?
Run.
Cheyenne Run. Yeah. Cheyenne Run.
Yeah. Cheyenne Run was a collaboration that I had with my buddy Steven. And man, when we just have the time, we just get together and we just kind of write just whatever is kind of in our hearts, what's in our minds. And Cheyenne Run was just, it was just a song that we collaborated on. Yeah.
Okay, so Luke, he might not be able to, he might have taken down the songs from iTunes, but I found this song on SoundCloud.
Sunday night, feeling loneliness next to you, man. Another fight, you're bruised and you're broken again. If you'd only see how happy you would be, then you could leave.
A little bit of Cheyenne Run right there. That's a great song. It's about a runaway.
Yeah, we kind of came up with this concept of, you know, this woman and just the situation that she needed to kind of get out of,
like abuse.
Yeah,
that's a fitting song for, I don't want to bring down the room, and I might even edit this out, but for what happened recently in Divine with a lady.
Yeah,
you know, she couldn't get out of a relationship, and she tried and tried, restraining order, everything, and ended up getting, you know, like a bad situation, and her life ended because of something like this. So that song is very fitting for that. But once again, thank you so much, Luke. Actually, before we end, you mind maybe playing a little bit, just a little.
Yeah,
20 seconds, not a whole song. Yeah, not a whole song. Okay, so we're going to have Luke play a little bit, just, you know, 10, 15 seconds of a couple songs here. Luke Valencia in Austin, Texas. Love it. That was Luke. What song was that, man?
That's a song I actually wrote for our town a while back, and I've never released it or anything like that. It's called Natalia.
When someday you're going to be someone, that's one of the lyrics? Wow, that's cool. I'm still hoping for that day, man.
I've seen this somewhere.
And that wraps up my sixth episode. Thank you for listening. Come back next week And please give me some feedback on Instagram under @IamJohnMendez and Facebook under DJJMendez. Talk to you soon, and remember, always march to the beat of your own drum.